Genesis, the 28th chapter. We read from verses 12 to 22. I think so. Later we'll see, okay? 12 to 22. Is it warm? Guys, can we work on this aircon, please? Okay. We read about an interesting character. And his name is Jacob. Everybody say Jacob. Now, Jacob, please remember this. Jacob is Mr. Runaway. Everybody say runaway. In Bahasa Malaysia, Sudah Lari, Berambos. Okay? He is a Mr. Runaway. Number one, he's running right now. When you read the scriptures, he's running from his uncle or his father-in-law, Laban, running away in fear. And then number two, he's running away from his own brother. What's his brother's name?
Esau.
Because he, Mr. Esau, what? E-line, E-nords, okay? Esau, he stole the birthright of his brother. Okay? Number three, look at me. Number three, he's running away from his own self. Okay? He's running in denial. He's running in denial, blaming everybody else except himself. Jacob means deceiver. Jacob means a supplanter. Jacob means someone who steals things that doesn't belong to him. Okay? He's running away. That's not his identity. So right now, God does an amazing work. Say amazing work. Amazing work. You know, remember we just sang, when you walk into the room, what happens? Everything. Come on, can you give me the chorus maybe? Give me the... Give me the Stanley for a while.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Exactly, that's what he did. God walked into his life. And I say prophetically, this is what God's going to do for each one of us today and in the days to come. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Now turn with me to your Bibles right now, please. Turn with me to Genesis. Okay? Remember, everybody say Mr. Runaway. Easy to remember, right? Say easy to remember. That's right. Okay. Genesis, the 28th chapter, verses 10 through 22. That means 10, not 12. Okay? Now look at the slides if you want. Otherwise, if you've got your Bibles, just look at the Bible. Now, let me just read. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Everybody say Haran. Not Harun, Haran. So he came. Look at me. This is important. You must catch this today. Okay? You know what? So he came to a certain place. Everybody say certain place. That certain place is an ordinary place. Say ordinary place. Okay, ordinary. Everybody say ordinary place. Ordinary, mundane place. A certain place. Nelson, you're here? Nelson? Okay, right? And he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun has set. Okay? And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sweet chow, fun cow, to sleep. Good to see you. Okay? To sleep. Then he dreamed. Look at this. This is where the difference is. This is what made the difference. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. A ladder. Huh? Tanga. A ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to the heaven. Okay, heaven. Not second heaven. Second heaven is the devil. Not the first heaven. Air is just flying there. But this is the third heaven. Everybody say third heaven. This is the throne of God. A ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached the heaven. And there, Jeremiah, and good to see you, man. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending. Wow. Not the demons ascending and descending, but the angels. Everybody say angels. Come on. Come on. Especially Ivy, say angels. Okay, right. And it says here, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord of Abraham, neither father, your father, and the God of your God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I give to you and your descendants, and also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in you, supplanter, he's a deceiver, but God said, in you, and in your seed, and all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. Come on, somebody say amen, please. You may be wondering here what blessing can come out of someone who is a runaway, running away in fear of his uncle or father-in-law, and running away from the guilt of stealing the birthright of his brother, which is a crime, running away from his real identity and living in self-denial. And now what good can come out of it? I mean, something must have happened. Turn to your neighbor and say, something must happen. Yeah, something extraordinary must have happened for this drastic, supernatural, miraculous change to take place. Let's move on. And he says here, I will, and then I like this, behold, I'm with you. Wow, I like that. Behold, I'm with you, and I will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. Wow, wow. Isn't that wonderful? Then Jacob awoke from his place and said, surely the Lord is in this place. Come on, everybody say place. Come on, everybody say place. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? How awesome is this place? An ordinary place, and mundane ordinary place has become an awesome place. Isn't that wonderful? It can be your family. It can be a workplace. It can be a future. It can be anything. An ordinary place can become an awesome place. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Let me finish. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gates of heaven. The house of God is the presence of God. The gates of heaven is the power of God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Remember, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Come on, let's move on. Then Jacob rose. Can you read? Come on, who is reading? Then you're not reading. You're somewhere else. Then I read from there.
Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had loose. Been something, loose. Something, something.
Loose.
Loose, previously.
Loose fire.
Then Jacob...
That's a pronunciation.
Loose. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way, that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I may come back to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God, and the stone which had been set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you've given me, I will surely give a tenth to you.
Amen. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? The last scripture, all that you give me, I'll give one tenth. You are blessed so that you can become a blessing. I'm sure all those who are sitting here who are preachers can preach thousands of messages from this passage. But I entitle today's message, this is my title, you know, I entitle this message, An Ordinary Place Became an Extraordinary Place. Come on, read it together with me. An ordinary place became an extraordinary place. Come on. You know, friends, look at me, please. That place where Jacob was resting, he was in a transition of agony. Everybody say agony. He's in a transition of agony. Don't know where to go. Don't know what to do. Like I'm caught. Sharon? No, not Sharon. Look like Sharon. You know? No, sorry. What's your name anyway? Ivy. Okay, now look at me, please. Now, everybody look at me, please. Now, look at me, please. Now, before we look at this awesome place, say awesome place. Okay, God walked into this place and he turned an ordinary place into an extraordinary place. Come on, somebody say amen, please. An awesome place. But let's look at the ordinary place first. What is the spiritual meaning of loose? The old name of the place is loose. Everybody say loose. Okay? Indians say Lucifer. Okay? Lusu. All right? Now, friends, look at me. This is the ordinary place. You could be in that place tonight. You could be in that place. You know what? That city called Luz is a place, number one, a place of shrub. A place of shrub. You know what shrub means, right? No growth, no fruitfulness, no progress. Number two, it was a place of unpleasant path, bending, turning, and departing. Unpleasant part. Every door that you approach, it is closed. The door even opens when you get into that door of opportunity. It is twisted and turned and delayed. Are you here with me? Okay. Number three, it is a place of bones. 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 No life. Come on. It's a place of bones. Come on. Come on. Give me it on the screen. Who is at the computer? That's right. It's a place of bones. Ezekiel 37. Bones. A place of complacency. A place of lukewarmness. A place where you don't have a passion for the things of God. You have lost your desire to pray, to read the word, and to live a Christian effective life. A place of bones. Are you there? Are you walking into the church because you're fulfilling some weekend responsibility? Or are you walking into the church that you're excited for God? Are you in the place of bones? Number four, a place of Hittites. Hittites. Say Hittites. The word Hittite means sons of terror. So this spirit is characterized by fear. Fear of and torment. Say fear and torment. You live in the world of fear. You're fearful of the past. You're fearful of the now. You're fearful of the future. The fear of man engulfs your life, and you're crippled in your faith. You major in your fear rather than faith. Somebody say, ouch, amen. That's right. Let's look at it. And then it is a place of separation. A place of separation from all good things. a place of separation from all good things. Are you here with me? Come on, somebody say amen, please. Now, I want to ask you this. This is a prophetic question. Is this your situation? You don't have a breakthrough in your marriage. Your husband is such a person. Your wife is such a person. You don't have a breakthrough with your children. You don't have a breakthrough in your finances. You don't have a breakthrough in your prayer life. You don't have a breakthrough in your walk with God. Your life seems to be so normal but mundane. Not abnormal, mundane. Impossibilities have become the way of your life. And you don't live a total life in Jesus. Your path has been crooked. You don't have a pleasant path. And today, God is saying in this service, I'm about to turn your ordinary place into an awesome place, because I'm Jesus, the Son of the living God. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and the soon coming King. And I'm with you, says the Lord. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. 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 What is the purpose of this message? In the next couple of minutes, those at the back, can you hear me? What is the purpose of this message? Now look at me, please. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, there must be more than this. There must be more than this. To the job, the marriage, my job, whatever. Say whatever. There must be more than this. I'm not called to live this limited life. There must be more than this. This message is for you. Jesus is about to turn your ordinary place into an awesome place. Come on. He's about to turn your ordinary place into an awesome place. Come on, how many of you would say amen, please? Now let's look at this awesome place. You know, after describing this horrible ordinary place, what is this awesome place? How many of you want to know? And I want you to take it back with you. Take it back with you. Because this is your rightful heritage. Masha, this is what you are made for. You are not made for some. Okay, I almost said some. Okay. Number one, awesome place is a girl. Somebody sit with her. Huh? Sit with her. She's all alone. Oh, okay, now you got a bodyguard. Okay. I mean, spiritual bodyguard. Okay. Don't get me wrong. Okay. Number one, look at me. This awesome place is an abiding place of God's presence. It's not a miserable place, Asher. It's a place where the abiding presence of God is. There was a ladder that connected from earth to the heaven, Brother Kana. And the angels of God ascended and descended. And then God began to speak. Are you here with me? It's a place of God's presence. Everybody say place of God's presence. Psalm 16, if you don't change that slide, please stay there. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. No, that's Acts chapter 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Psalm 16 and verse 11, you know what it says? In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy, life and favor evermore. In Psalms 64 verses 1 through 4 says, where the presence of God is, there is revival. There is awakening. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Psalm 68 verses 1 through 3, where the presence of God is, the enemies that has been belittling you, that has been besieging you, will be defeated. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. It is a place of the presence of God. Come on. My notes went down somewhere. Okay, number two. It's number two now, is it? Number two, an abiding place of God's voice. Huh? an abiding place of God's voice. As I was with your father, as I was with your grandfather and your father, I am with you. I am with you, and I will not leave you. No, I will not forsake you, and I will keep my covenant with you. Come on, somebody say amen, please. The voice of God. The voice of God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. The Bible is the written voice of God. When you read it loud, it becomes the voice of God. Hallelujah. Through your voice. When you read it loud, it becomes the voice of God through you. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Are you here with me? And then it's a place of God's promise. An abiding place of God's promise. And I will bless you. In you, you will be blessed. Your family will be blessed. You know, and everyone who is connected to you will be blessed. It's a place of God's promise. Everybody say God's promise. Don't leave this place without you having a desire to enter into it. There are two ways you can enter into this. Number one, physically. Number two, spiritually. And I'll tell you what is this awesome place that you can choose to enter. Okay, and then it says here also an abiding place of God's power of God. This, you know, when he anointed and he said this is not just the house of God, but it's also gates of heaven. It's the power of God. Say power of God. The gates of heaven means the power of God. And it's abiding place of God's covenant. God's covenant. He said, you know, I promise you, Father. I promise you, Grandfather. And that promise goes down. It's like Psalms 23 and verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And I like the last one. You know, when he walks into the room, it's an abiding place of God's intervention. Come on, look at me. Everybody look. Some of you taking notes. Look at me, please. Snapping. Now look at me, please. Where do you need God to intervene in your life? Come on. Where do you need the reality of God's power in your life? Is in the reality of God's visitation in your life. Somebody say amen, please. And he is about to visit you. He is about to visit you. Dia akan campur tangan dalam hidup kamu. He will visit you. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? Your ordinary place with sickness, with disease, with hopelessness, with confusion, with unpleasant part, with all the blockages and impossibility is about to become an awesome place. Put your hands together and give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. I declare and I decree and I prophesy this over you. In your ordinary place, your mundane, ordinary place, as you walk out of this place, is set to become an awesome place of God. Why? Because you are an awesome creation of God. Come on, put your hands together. And I want to encourage you. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? It's within your reach. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's within your reach. Okay, very quickly, look at me please, we're already 6:30, huh? Quite crazy the time, I think it's Merdeka Day, I think. Independence Day, the time is very independent. Now look at me, I'm coming to the tail end of this message, even though I've got 1,000 things to share. Now look at me please, what is this, a crucial question, and a crucial question that you and I need to answer in the New Testament living today. What is this awesome place in our lives today? Where can Jesus walk into? Come on, take the mic and sing it again, please, for me. What are you doing? Taking down notes. Don't simply tell me, okay? Come on, when he walks into.
When you walk into the room.
Come on, sing it.
Everything changes.
What is this place?
Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning And nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you.
Come on, we worship you.
We love you.
That's right.
We'll never stop. We can't live without you. Jesus.
That's right.
We love you.
That's right.
We can't get enough. Oh, this is for you, Jesus.
You. David calls this awesome place that you and I can have an access to. David calls this, come on. We want to turn our ordinary place into awesome place, right? Right now. House of God and gates of heaven, right? Look at me. David calls this the secret place of God. Psalms 91 verse 1. He who finds an access to the secret place of God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And David says in Psalms 27 and verse 4, this secret place as beholding your face. One thing, everybody read together with me. One thing have I desired, that which I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, behold the face of God, and to inquire in the temple. Come on. Understand the scripture carefully. David calls this place in Psalms 5 and verse 3, the morning watch. The morning watch. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I'll direct it to you and I'll look up to you. David calls this place in Psalms 40 verses 1 through 3, the waiting, the place of waiting. The place of waiting. Come on, catch it. By now you know what I'm talking about. Masha, you know what I'm talking about? Right, you know what it says? The place, Psalms 40, verse 1 through 4. I waited patiently for the Lord, and inclined his ears to my cry. And he brought me out of this miry, horrible pit and a miry clay, and placed my feet upon the solid rock, and establish my feet, purpose upon purpose, and plan upon plan, and establish my feet upon the rock steps, and has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And Haggai, look at me. Haggai calls this the place as, Prophet Haggai calls this place as the temple of God. Look at this. Look at this, verses 6 and 7. You know, it says here, you have sown much, you bring in little, you eat, but you do not have enough, you drink, but you are not filled with drink, you clothe yourself, you are not warm, you earn wages put into your bags with hold. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And the next verse says, the next verse we don't have, you go back and check, says, go up to the mountain, find wood, and rebuild the temple of God, that I may dwell in the house. Come on, somebody say amen, please. The temple is not in Tampoi. The temple is not in Templar. The temple is not anywhere else. The temple is the house of God. The battle inside of you, where Jacob anointed the stone and said, this is the dwelling place of God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And then look at me, please. I'm coming to almost to the end here. And, you know, look, Jesus calls this place. I like this. Jesus calls this place as a good part. Come on, say good part. You go to the mechanic, you always tell them, give me a good part. And buy mutton, chicken, give me a good part. But one thing is needed. Martha! I like verse 41. You know, Jesus said, Martha, You're worried and troubled by so many things. Yes, the world is full of worries and trouble. If you don't have anything to worry, the world will give you something to worry. You don't have something to trouble, the world will give you something to trouble. But the only person who can worry should and trouble should is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. He's the Rock of Ages. He's a soon coming King. And He's the beloved of your heart and the lover of your soul. Put your hands together, give Jesus the glory. I love Jesus. And then he said, and you know what? But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. Say good part. Come on. Say good part. Good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then, as I conclude, Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse 6, and he says, he talks about this awesome place as a closet prayer. Turn to your neighbor and say, closet prayer. Everybody, Lawrence, tell your wife closet prayer, Lawrence. Say it in Vietnam. Song Thung Ha. Thang Ha. Say it in Vietnam. She understood, no. Come on, look at me, please. Matthew 6 and verse 6. But you, everybody, this is the crux of the matter. This is the one that will turn your ordinary place into your awesome place. Glory to God. You know, this is what Jesus said. But when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. That's it. That's it. The ordinary place becomes an awesome place with the open blessings of God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. My friends, Emmanuel, are you listening, Emmanuel? Emmanuel, God is with us. Every Sunday, Saturday, God is with us. Don't be shaken. God is at the back with us. Come on, look at me, please. You know, Jesus. How did Jesus practice this closet prayer life? Come on, give me Mark chapter 1. Everybody read this, Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Everybody read.
Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight.
A long while. Come on, go on.
He went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed.
Prayed. Number 2, Luke chapter 5 verse 16.
So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed.
There he prayed. Huh? Come on. Say prayed. Come on. Luke 6:12.
Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God.
All night in prayer. Nothing works like prayer. Where there is prayer, things will begin to move, because prayer is the one that turns your ordinary place into an extraordinary place, an awesome place. And this prayer is not a Merdeka rally prayer. This prayer is not a cell group prayer. This prayer is not a group prayer. This is your prayer, you and God alone. Give me Matthew 14:23. And when he had, that's right. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can I have all the 7 altars in one screen? Is it possible? Joyce Mayer? Okay, now look at me, please. Now, this is what I do. Every morning, I spend 2 hours, 2.5 hours praying. Number one, in my secret place, first of all, I build the altar of thanksgiving. Take a snapshot. Come on, give me the scripture. Go on. This promotes faith. I got faith to pray. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Number 2, I build the altar of repentance. This brings unbroken relationship before the house of purity. I ask God to forgive me, cleanse me, give me the scripture. And this promotes confidence in God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Number three, I build the altar of praise and worship. This brings the presence of God, Jesus. Yeah. Psalms 22 and verse 3, you are holy and you are enthroned in the praises of his people. Number four, I build the altar of the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues for my personal edification and my communication with God. Look at the scripture. I'm edified. I'm built. I'm edified. I'm built. Number five, the altar of prayer and petition. I pray for people. I pray for the church. I pray for pastors. I pray for the congregation. I pray for needs around. Pray for the nation. Give me the scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. God, the altar of the word. I read the word. I stop praying and I turn to a passage of scripture. Could be a psalm, could be a short portion of scripture. I read it prayerfully and meditatively. Yeah? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Number seven, I build the altar of waiting on God. I just wait. After reading the scripture, I just wait. And God just strengthens me. God speaks to me. Now look at me. There are seven altars here. If I spend 5 minutes in altar, I've spent 35 minutes. I am setting the path for God to turn my ordinary place into an extraordinary place. Unless God visits me, my place will remain as ordinary place. If you are sitting here and you're prayer lazy, you need help. If you're sitting here and you say you're too busy, you need help. If you're sitting here and you say, I don't know what to pray, I gave you seven altars. It's going to be in the website. Okay, pick up your phone and take snapshot. If you have not, go altar one. Worship team, can you come please? Altar one. Roll slowly. Altar two. Altar three. Altar four. Altar five. Altar six. Altar seven. That's it. Come on, stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to set your heart today. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you, Jesus. The next 5 minutes, come on. Thank you, Lord. I want you to lift up your hands to Jesus. You know why we don't come together to pray? Because we don't have a personal prayer life. That's why we cannot come together to pray. We don't have energy. And I say prophetically, God is restoring this church back to prayer. Everything happened in the past in this church is because of prayer. And God is restoring your family back to prayer. God is restoring you as an individual back to prayer. Let's just worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just worship.
Because when you walk in,
every hand's lifted up, that's right.
Everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring.
That's right.
When you walk into the room,
come on.
Every heart starts burning.
That's right. All over this
place.
Nothing
matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
That's right. Come on, just worship him. Come on, an anointing of prayer.
Because when you walk into the room,
a conviction of prayer,
everything changes.
A prophetic
darkness
utterance of prayer.
To tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you.
As your hands are lifted up, restore me to a place of prayer. Restore me to a place of prayer. Restore me to a place of prayer, Lord. Restore me to a place of prayer. Restore me, Lord.
We can't get enough.
Restore me to that place of prayer.
Oh, this is for you.
Restore me to that place of prayer. Restore me to that place of prayer. Bring me back to the place of prayer. Establish me back to the place of prayer. I want to come back, Lord. I want to come back. I want to come back. Come on, all over this place. I want to come back. Before I serve the communion, by faith, I want to just release a conviction of prayer. And I want you to take it and take it home. Come on, take it and take it back. An abiding presence of God. An abiding place of God. An abiding voice of God. Abiding power of God. Abiding promise of God. Abiding covenant of God. And I say this, for this day the Lord will say this, I have decreed you for this, says the Lord, not to be an ordinary place, not to be a mundane place, fighting the same battle again and again. And the Lord is calling his church, come back to the place of prayer. Come back to the conviction of prayer. Come back to the burden of prayer. Come back to the discipline of prayer. And ask God to forgive you if you have not been praying. Forgive me. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You got something to take back today. Don't forget it. You can be sure there'll be somebody praying for you, that this conviction will not die. Pastors, we will pray for you. This church must come back to a place of prayer. We need to come back. Your family need to come back to the place of prayer. You need to come back to the place of prayer. Otherwise, life is still going to be the same. Thank you, Lord. You make a commitment to God wherever you are. I'll build altars to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just commit all these precious people into your hands. Prayer is not just some work, but it is worship with you and fellowship with you. Remove the burden of the word prayer. Bring us into a love relationship. Jesus, I love you. Father, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. Let's prepare our hearts for communion right now. If you don't have communion, stay where you are. Unpack the communion if you already have. Thank you, Jesus. Just Father, we thank you for the cup that signifies your precious blood, the bread that signifies your broken body. As we partake this communion, let it be an honor to you and a blessing to each one of us. We especially institute this communion for the conviction and the fellowship of Jesus through prayer. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Holding the cup and the bread in your hands, as in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 23, right up to 31, the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And after he gave thanks to the Father, he broke the bread and he gave to the disciples and he said, "This bread which is broken for you signifies my broken body." And Jesus said, "As often as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me." And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 5, Jesus was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The punishment of our peace was upon him. And by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. Come on, let's eat this bread together. Like manner, Jesus took the cup. He gave to the disciples and he said, "This cup symbolizes a new covenant that I made through my blood, the covenant of forgiveness, the covenant of new life, the covenant of new beginning." And Jesus said, "As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me until my return." And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus through the forgiveness of our sin, according to the manifold grace of God. Let's drink this cup as a family. Put your cup down. Come on, say this together with me. I declare
the blood of Jesus
is my covering.
I declare
the faithfulness of God is my victory.
I declare
the word of God
is my position.
I declare
the name of Jesus
is my authority.
I declare
the Holy Spirit
is my renewing strength.
I declare
the grace of God
is my sufficiency.
I declare
the mercies of God
is my forgiveness.
And I declare
my attitude
is the attitude
of gratitude.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, put your hands together. Whoa! God bless you.